Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about medicinal mushrooms. And our guest is Mark Kaler. He's a master herbalist, has a PhD. He's a certified nutritionist. He's also a consultant and educator for a company called Mushroom Wisdom. Find them at mushroomwisdom.com. They've been making very fine quality mushroom products for several decades now. They're really quite experienced in the field. Just before we get into medicinal mushrooms, just a couple more questions about ordinary culinary mushrooms. The concern is that mushrooms are kind of dirty. You know, you buy them and they got these little brown flecks on them. Do you have to be really careful when you consume mushrooms? Are they grown in manure? Could they be treated with harsh chemicals? Is there such a thing as organic versus, pesticide or herbicide treated mushrooms?
Yeah, really good point in that regard. Again, a lot of people think, you know, about what mushrooms are grown on. There's actually some debate, and there was an article I just read really recently that suggested that we don't really need to be that attentive to the scrubbing and cleaning of mushrooms.
Don't you have to peel off the brown stuff and scrub to clean our mushrooms?
Yeah, I don't think you really need to do it. I think we have in our society this tendency for too much cleanliness in things. And, you know, we know that with all the research that's going on now with the microbiome and, you know, all these good microbes that we're supposed to be living with, that it's good to get out and get dirty, and you know, and some people are even making dirt-derived probiotic products and things. So, I don't think we need to be as finicky when it comes to being that clean and trying to create a sterile existence and like that. The immune system is simple. It's like everything else. It needs to be trained and taxed and, you know, in order for it to develop its resilience and its strength and its ability to deal with different things. So. I'm not concerned about that. I am concerned though about what they can be sprayed with, you know, because they do grow in damp environments. Mm-hmm. Non-organic mushrooms, particularly the button mushroom, less so the other mushrooms, is one that can be sprayed, and it can be sprayed with some pretty nasty stuff. So if you are eating at least button mushrooms or Crimean portobellas, same family, I think it's really important that those are grown organically if you are going to be eating them.
So pay a little extra.
I think less of a concern.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's worth your health. You know, people always say, or, you know, what's the saying? No, if you think organic's expensive, wait until you have to find out how expensive cancer is. So I think it pays to, at least in this regard, for those mushrooms to make sure you're getting organic. The other mushrooms that are cultivated in things, shiitake, trumpet, oyster, a number of these others, kind of yummier, more exotic edible mushrooms. Those are actually grown, and I've been to and visited some of these growers. The big growers actually grow them in sterile environments, so they tend to be very clean, very pristine. They're not grown in dirt, even in that regard. They're grown in, you know, like a grain sawdust mix that's particular to that that type of mushroom. So it's only really with that button family mushrooms I think we need to be careful about whether it's organic or not organic.
Is it true that if you take your mushrooms and you expose them to ultraviolet light, that they produce vitamin D, and then they can become a source of vitamin D?
Yeah, absolutely. And now some growers are actually doing that for you. But if you buy your button mushrooms, what you want to do is, you know, take a little bit of that stem off, set them outside upside down so that the gills are exposed to the sun. and let them sit in the sun for a little while, and that'll increase production of vitamin D2. So it's the, you know, it's really the only, it's not really a plant source since it's a mushroom, but it's a good non-animal option for people as far as getting their vitamin D.
Good stuff. You can actually tan your mushrooms, and they produce vitamin D just like people do. Pretty cool. Okay, let's look at, you know, we did a marvelous job in part one, you know, kind of a lightning round going through all the various mushroom species. But now I'd like to approach it more from a functional standpoint, looking at some of the major concerns that people might have and reasons for taking mushrooms. Well, let's start with, you know, fatigue and stamina, you know, and maybe, you know, hook that up to athletic performance. Are there specific mushrooms that you would include in your repertoire if you were desiring support in those areas?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one mushroom that stands out above all the other mushrooms, even though several of them I think may have some benefits in that regard, and that's the cordyceps mushroom. Cordyceps, as I mentioned, the Chinese athletes have used it. There is a fair amount of research, although most of it is animal studies, showing that it can improve energy, endurance, recovery. One of the things that I find really intriguing about it, it seems to be a tonic, so to speak, for the mitochondria. And the mitochondria are the little furnaces or engines that drive the cells in our body. And they can be muscle cells, they can be brain cells, heart cells, whatever it may be. So, if, you know, those mitochondria, if you have lots of them and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know, and they're healthy and protected, well, all of which cordyceps can help with, you know, cordyceps is in great in that regard. In traditional Chinese medicine, cordyceps is said to build the yang. And the yang is, you know, people have heard about yin and yang. Yang is, you know, fire, drive, motivation, you know, movement and things. So people that are deficient in that, or people who are looking for extra amounts of that yang energy and yang drive, you know, cordyceps, I think, is by far the best remedy in that regard. Again, supported by a fair amount of research. And one of the intriguing things about it, I think, is, and one of the ways it differs from a lot of the other kind of energy herbs that we speak of, caffeine being the, you know, the number one that we use in our society, you know, those give you that instant kick and things. Cordyceps is something that builds over time. It actually nourishes the body's systems that are responsible for giving us that energy, that boost in vitality and things. So it's actually working with the body rather than going in and stimulating it or pushing or driving the body. You know, so you don't worry, you know, like with over, you know, too much caffeine use or other types of stimulants, you got to worry about your adrenals and other, you know, aspects of the endocrine system. You don't have to worry about that with cordyceps.
Because cordyceps actually nourishes. You won't get that.
Yeah, you won't get any of that. And it'll actually work in repairing some of the damage associated with those types of stimulants. And it's cool in that it builds over time. So, you know, the longer you use it, the greater the benefit. So this is a remedy, you know, that I take on a daily basis. I take it first thing in the morning. And it's a remedy that I plan on taking, you know, probably for the rest of my life. You know, hopefully it'll make me live longer and it'll give me that yang, fire, and drive. So people that are really active, either with sports or because of the job they have, people that are lacking motivation and drive, you know, who just can't get themselves out of bed, you know, have no motivation for life and stuff. Cordyceps is all about kind of nourishing that energy to help bring back some of that those energetics.
Okay. Let's move on to the subject of immunity. You know, lots of people kind of worried about cold and flu season. They recognize that yet again, the flu shot is not a bulwark, a fail-safe bulwark against all misfortune. It, you know, variably works, you know, 10 to 30%, depending on whose statistics you're reading. What do we do as we get into cold and flu season to support our immune systems?
Yeah, I like kind of a twofold approach. One would be basically, you know, balancing and nourishing the immune system. And the immune system really is all about balance. Our immune system is taxed and strained, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days. No matter how well you live, no matter how low your stress levels may be, you know, there's stuff in the air, there's stuff in our food. Our body creates a number of compounds that, you know, it needs to deal with that can be toxic or dangerous to the body. And reishi is all about bringing balance to that situation. So it's a wonderful long-term tonic that brings balance while it's nourishing the immune system, while it's doing a number of adjunct things that I think are important, making the immune system operate optimally. It improves oxygen uptake by the lungs. If, you know, our bodies are getting more oxygen, they're getting more energy and things. Can improve function of the heart. That can have a number of cardiovascular and overall vitality benefits to it. It protects the liver and has been shown to help regenerate the liver. Some studies suggest it's as effective or maybe more effective as the common liver herb that most, you know, people are familiar with, milk thistle. So it has these kind of holistic benefits. At the same time, it's balancing and supporting you know, our immune system. And again, looking at it holistically, another big variable, particularly that's a problem in our culture, and I imagine you see it a lot in your clients, particularly, you know, in New York City, is, are they getting enough sleep? Reishi can improve sleep quality. It can help them get to sleep. The people with that chattery mind, Reishi can kind of help calm that down a little bit. So, you know, it works in that nice holistic manner with the body as a whole, some target specific actions, as well as having some, you know, very specific immune supportive actions. Now, when we're talking about kicking the immune system in, you can't go wrong with the maitake defraction. As I mentioned, there are comparative studies showing the maitake defraction increases numbers of immune cells, increases activity of the immune cells, improves communication within the immune system, improves overall functionality of the immune system. It's been compared, for instance, to, you know, I mentioned that Coriolis is the source of a couple of licensed pharmaceuticals that have been used for cancer treatment. When those are given at an equivalent dose or even at higher dose, the maitake defraction was stronger for boosting the body's immune responses. So the way I do it is I take the reishi all through the year, and I may up the dose when we get into, the, you know, cold and flu season. But I always have a bottle of maitake defraction on hand. I try to use it preventively, so if I know, let's say I didn't get a good night's sleep last night, I may dose up a little bit just to kick it in. If I've been around a few people that are coughing and sneezing, I may dose it up a little bit. When I'm traveling, when I get on a plane and off a plane and things, I will dose up a little bit. If I feel in those early stages, you know, cold and flu coming on, you know, I'll take really, really large doses of the maitake defraction. And I've had amazing luck with myself and with clients doing that, where you take just a... even a whole bottle sometimes of the maitake defraction when you start feeling run down, and the next day, you know, your immune system has been kicked in and been able to clear it. So I keep that kind of on hand, you know, preventatively, as well as kind of using it in, you know, more acute or leading up to acute stages in that regard. Nice. But basically any of the mushrooms are going to have some immune benefits. So if you have one that you like for other reasons, they're going to bring some, you know, some immune benefits to the table.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's allow one of our sponsors to offer this important message to you. Please listen up. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Mark Kaler. He's consultant and educator for Mushroom Wisdom. Let's switch gears and talk about cardiometabolic protection, because metabolic syndrome, pre-diabetes, even full-blown type 2 diabetes, epidemic proportions in this society. A lot of it has to do with diet and exercise, but some people need help in reestablishing, you know, cardiovascular protection and protection from blood sugar problems. Do any of the particular mushrooms fit that bill?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of telling a little story to set the stage for it. Mushroom Wisdom used to be known as maitake products. They were the first one really to kind of medicinalize, so to speak, the maitake mushroom, certainly at least here in the West and things. So they were doing a lot of work with the maitake and the maitake defraction, specifically around its immune benefits and immune support. And what they were finding out is a number of people were calling the company saying, hey, you know, I've been using maitake defraction, or I've been taking your whole maitake, And I'm also diabetic, and I've noticed that, you know, my blood sugar has improved. My insulin sensitivity has improved. I'm not needing to use as much of whatever pharmaceuticals they may be using. So, you know, initially the response was, you know, it's just coincidental, you know, this is an immune product, you know, keep doing what you're doing. It happened so much, they decided we better do some research with it. And they did some work initially with Dr. Proust in Georgetown University, where he actually started looking at the maitake mushroom, trying to figure out what in the maitake mushroom might be having this response. And they actually discovered a compound, which they named SX fraction, in name of syndrome X, which is now more, I guess, commonly called metabolic syndrome. And they found out that this specific compound, different from the defraction compound, so they're from the same mushroom, but they're different components of that mushroom. They found out that the SX fraction was effective at lowering blood sugar levels and lowering insulin levels. And I want to emphasize the word "and" there. It lowers blood sugar and insulin. And this is really important because there are a number of natural remedies out there that can lower blood sugar levels. But the way they lower blood sugar levels is by increasing insulin production.
In a certain
well, if you have metabolic
fix,
syndrome...
Yeah, you're right.
It'll be a short term. You know, in the long run, it actually contributes to the issue because the issue is not so much the blood sugar level; it's the fact that our cells aren't responding to insulin properly, and they're not responding properly. Why? Because we bombarded them with too much insulin. So, you know, increasing that production for people with, you know, metabolic concerns in that regard may not be the wisest long term benefit in that. So, it was amazing that it did both blood sugar and insulin, balancing those. It seems to improve that cellular sensitivity to insulin. They found that in the case of it, testing for insulin sensitivity is expensive, difficult test. So they look for other measures, and some of those measures are cardiovascular benefits. If you're improving insulin sensitivity, oftentimes you see improvements in blood pressure, triglycerides, LDL cholesterol, improvements in HDL cholesterol. And that's what they found out the SX was providing. It was providing those cardiovascular benefits. And then they actually did a comparative study comparing the SX fraction to a leading pharmaceutical, and lo and behold, they found that it worked more quickly and more effectively than one of the leading pharmaceuticals that are used in this regard. And that, I think, is kind of intriguing because, you know, one of the things you always hear about natural medicine is it's not as strong as pharmaceuticals, it doesn't work, you know, as quickly.
It's safer, it's gentler, but it's not as effective. But in this case, it turns out that it's all three. It's safer and gentler, and also more effective, which is precisely what we're aiming for.
Right. And so that's my number one as far as, you know, metabolic concerns in that sense. People have those insulin issues in that regard. That being said, eating mushrooms can be really helpful for this. Agaricus mushroom, chaga, reishi mushroom, shiitake, all of these mushrooms have been shown to be beneficial in some regards as far as balancing blood sugar levels. So, you know, take your mushrooms, eat your mushrooms. You know, all of them are going to, I think, help contribute to some insulin, blood sugar, and some cardiovascular benefits.
And I think one of the most exciting areas of mushroom research, especially lately, is the impact of certain mushrooms on brain function. And with neurodegenerative disease reaching epidemic proportions, you know, the rate of Alzheimer's disease is soaring. You know, a lot of my middle-aged and older clients are looking for things that protect the brain. Are there any plausible candidates among the mushrooms that do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, there are several mushrooms that have been shown to be beneficial, to have some neuroprotective actions to them, or to have some other very specific, more targeted actions in that regard. In fact, ironically, there was a study that found the maitake defraction having neuroprotective benefits to them, which is a little surprising at first, but you know, I guess when you start thinking about it, when you start looking at the latest research about how important these glial cells are. Glial cells are basically immune cells in the brain. They're the janitors, so to speak, you know, that go through and clean it up. You know, so the maitake defraction may be boosting those, which may be benefiting the brain in that regard.
Or reducing inflammation or, you know, something that helps the brain.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that. And to me, it's another kind of screaming neon sign saying, treat this condition holistically. If you have brain concerns, don't treat it as a brain concern. You have to treat it as a whole body concern. It's, you know, this fixation that we have with these isolated components of the brain, I think really get us off target. And more so importantly, you know, with dementia and Alzheimer's and disease, the most success that, you know, that we've seen now in the research is when people take that holistic approach, you know, nutritionally, lifestyle, and otherwise. But the mushroom that probably stands out in that regard is the lion's mane mushroom. And specifically the amylobin product, which we were talking about. And again, the amylobin product is a very specific concentration of compounds found in the lion's mane mushroom. And there are two sets of compounds. One are called haricinones. And the haricinones were shown to actually stimulate something called nerve growth factor. And nerve growth factor simply is a compound that your body produces to stimulate brain repair, nerve repair, whether it be in your brain or whether it be peripherally in your body. In fact, there are studies using lion's mane compounds to treat peripheral nerve damages. I used it with I was actually at a trade show when the product first came out a number of years ago, and a guy in the booth beside me was saying, you know, hey, you know, I had surgery not too long ago on my hand. They severed a nerve. It was his hand that he writes with and everything. They told me basically, hey, just learn to start writing with your other hand. You know, should I give this a try? And he's like, yeah, absolutely, give it a try. I gave him a bottle. I saw him at another trade show 2-3 months later, and he's like, look, you know, I'm starting to get a little more mobility in my fingers. After a year, maybe 2 years, he was basically able to write and do most of the things that he was doing with that hand to begin with. So nerve growth factor is all about nerve repair, nerve regeneration, whether it be somewhere peripherally in the body, whether it be in the brain. Interestingly, they found, I think it was in, again, early 80s, they did research with a woman who had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and they actually pumped pure nerve growth factor into her brain. And they found out that it actually slowed or reversed the development of Alzheimer's. There's a problem with that. First and foremost is you've got to drill a hole into the brain and pump nerve growth factor into it. Eventually, that's getting infected, and you're going to die from the infection. Because, ironically, nerve growth factor does not cross what's called the blood-brain barrier, which is basically the brain's protection from things that it doesn't want into the brain. So they started looking for natural compounds that would stimulate this nerve growth factor. To this day, I don't know why, but someone decided, hey, let's try this lion's mane mushroom. And they found out it was these haricinones. These haricinones are able to cross the blood-brain barrier and stimulate the brain's endogenous production of this nerve growth factor compound.
Awesome.
So that has huge benefits to it. Then they discovered this more fatty compound in there, which they named amylobin, as I mentioned. And amylobin seems to have a protective action to healthy cells. So we know that a lot of the concerns as it relates to Alzheimer's and dementia is not so much just the damaged cells, it's the damage that those cells cause throughout rest of the brain and things. Inflammation, as you mentioned, free radical damage. So if you can protect those healthy cells, you can certainly slow that process, or hopefully slow that process significantly. So amylobin has that two-pronged benefit. It has the nerve growth factor, which seems to work directly against the amyloid beta plaque buildup. Then you have the amylobin compound, which seems to have a protective action in that regard. And again, I can attest that I've used it with a number of individuals, and almost across the board, people have been, you know, already diagnosed with varying degrees of dementia, mild to moderate cases. About 30 days into it, they report, you know, the personality coming back, memory coming back, moods improving and things. And it just seems to improve in time over, you know, with time. The longer and longer you use it, I think the greater the benefits.
And I've also used it. I've used it in patients who are receiving high-dose chemo for ovarian cancer, you know, high dose, aggressive chemotherapy, where chemo brain, you know, and breast cancer too, chemo brain, very common. You know, you just feel brain dead after all that chemo. It really ameliorates that. It really reduces the risk.
And I've also found just in practice, I'm always a little skeptical. You know, I can read studies and things. I kind of like to see things, you know, happen myself. I like to get in, you know, get dirty, so to speak, with these remedies and things. So I have given amylobin to probably 40 or 50 people that are under 50 that are showing no signs of dementia, memory loss, mild cognitive impairment, whatever it may be. And I have noticed across the board with the amylobin product in particular that they're just a little quicker and a little sharper really quickly, anywhere from 1 to 3 days. And with brain remedies, that's really unheard of. You know, ginkgo, they say, takes a month or so. I would actually debate whether ginkgo is a brain herb, but that's another whole conversation for another day and things. But it's one of the fastest, I think, benefits for people who are just trying to improve overall functioning, you know, just sharpen and quicken the brain, so to speak. It doesn't take a long time for its actions and benefits to kick in. And slightly off topic, if I can just mention this, just because this was so profound, there's a case study of an individual been diagnosed with schizophrenia who was given the amylobin product Again, I'm not sure why the psychiatrist decided to put him on it. And he had been suffering, I think, for 20 or 30 years, hallucinations, just couldn't function, you know, still living with his parents, couldn't work, you know, couldn't go to school, couldn't do anything. He went on the product, and I got to tell you, every time I think about it, it brings tears to the eyes. It gave him his life back. It was truly incredible to see the response that he did. He gradually became more active. Memory started improving. Mood started improving. He started to be able to get off the pharmaceuticals for schizophrenia, which are very deadly unto themselves. So much so that, you know, he eventually ended up volunteering and working in the doctor's office. And there's an interview with him, and even though it's in Japanese, you can see him. He's engaged. He's smiling. You know, he's got this brightness to him. So I think there's a whole area of benefits that we'll see with lion's mane and with amilobin, as far as a number of other mental disorders.
Yeah. Well,
and there are some studies suggesting some benefits for depression as well. So I think we're really just beginning to discover what these benefits may be.
And I just wanted to, it was a huge subject, and we could do an entire podcast on this alone. But for cancer patients, you know, patients who want to boost their body's defenses against cancer, are there any, again, you know, is it the same traditional mushrooms, or are there any specific mushrooms that might have an edge over others?
Yeah, well, it depends on the type of cancer. While all these cancers have immune benefits to them, in fact, there are like 400 mushrooms have been shown to have immune benefits. Something like 600 or 700 mushrooms have been shown to have some sort of anti-tumor actions to them. They seem to have certain affinities for certain tissues and things in the body. For instance, gastrointestinal cancers, Coriolis seems to be a mushroom really well suited for that. Chaga, some promising research there for stomach cancers. We talked about Mishima for breast cancer. But the one mushroom I always start with, or one mushroom product I start with, is the maitake defraction. Mm-hmm. And then I may build off of that as far as using other mushrooms that may be more specific to those tissues and things. And I should comment on the dosing of it. The dosing that's on the bottle for the product is just kind of just immune balance, you know, just kind of kick your immune system in on a day-to-day basis, right? The research suggests, and it's nice to have the research actually indicating this, you need 1 milligram of defraction per kilo of body weight. Kilo's 2.2 pounds.
Okay.
So the maitake defraction, the way I like it best, is in the liquid form. The professional strength product has 1 milligram per drop. So it's basically if you're, you know, I simplify it. If someone's 150 pounds, I just divide that by two. That's 75 milligrams, which would be 75 drops a day would be, you know, that kind of so-called therapeutic dosing for the product.
And that's kind of a heroic dose. But after all, there we're dealing with cancer, not just, you know, preventing household, you know, colds and flus.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And so finally, and we're about to wrap up, forms, because there are capsules, there are tinctures, there are many options. You can find them at mushroomwisdom.com. How do you know what to take?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that I think are really important when it comes to mushrooms. First, I think it's important to find a mushroom that's grown properly. That is really key. There's a trend in the mushroom industry, as it's gotten more and more popular, to kind of grow it in factories and things. And I don't think that makes the best medicinal mushroom product. They will grow them in a fermentation process, which for cordyceps is fine, but not necessarily fine for the other mushrooms. They will grow it on a food source. It's not a natural food source. In fact, grains, and particularly rice, is one of the most common things that mushrooms grow on. The problem with that is that's not a natural food source for mushrooms, and it can't help but affect the compounds, the energetics of the finished product and things. So I like the fact that what Mushroom Wisdom does is they grow their mushrooms in a manner that mirrors how they grow in nature. In fact, some of them are wildcrafted, some of them are grown in this mirroring of nature fashion, and they're growing them on the natural food source that would be. And I'll give an example, Poria. Poria is a mushroom that grows on the roots of pine trees. So what they do is they take pine logs, impregnate them with the mushroom, Poria mushroom spores, and then bury them back in the ground and let them grow. So again, trying to mirror the way they grow. And, you know, people who may not buy this stuff about how important it is, how they grow and what they grow on, I'll use the example of, you know, tomatoes. Eat a hothouse tomato versus a nice soil-grown heirloom tomato, And you tell me there's not a difference between those two things, nutritionally, taste-wise, consistent, you know, every way across the board, that heirloom soil-grown tomato is better. And I think the same is true with mushrooms. How you grow them makes all the difference in the world. Once you grow them properly, they need to be processed. Mushrooms have a compound in there, a fiber-like compound called chitin. Chitin is very woody, very difficult, and almost, I won't say impossible, but the human body does not break it down particularly well. We don't produce enough of the enzyme chitinase in order to break down the chitin. So in order to make these compounds more bioavailable, they need to be extracted. They need to be extracted properly. Hot water oftentimes is the most effective way to extract these polysaccharides and beta-glucan compounds. Mushrooms like poria, reishi mushroom, the amylobin and lion's mane product, those oftentimes need alcohol or more sophisticated extraction processes, so those need to be called for. Another good example I'll use in this regard is the chaga mushroom. Chaga is a mushroom that grows in the wild on birch trees. There's a compound in the birch tree called betulinic acid, which the mushroom converts, which uses, and is part of the medicinal value to it. So if you get a chaga mushroom that's grown on rice, then you're not getting any of these active constituents.
It needs to be sort of wildcrafted to retain its benefits.
Right.
Right.
And in this regard, Mushroom Wisdom actually wildcrafts their chaga mushrooms and Siberian birch trees, which is kind of the original material that was studied and researched, you know, over the last 65, 70 years and things. So the extraction process is really key to make sure these products are extracted. So you can extract them and you can put them in tablet or capsule or in a liquid form. The important thing is just that I think that they're extracted to make them more bioavailable to the body.
Okay, well, let's get to today's call to action, which is a special offer to Intelligent Medicine listeners. What does Mushroom Wisdom have available?
Well, Mushroom Wisdom, because they know reishi is my favorite mushroom, is offering half price, 50% off on their Super Reishi product. For everybody that calls in, orders online, use the code MARK, which is my name, M-A-R-K. So if you call them or go online, just type in the discount code MARK, and you'll get the 50% discount on the Super Reishi product.
And the website is mushroomwisdom.com. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Well, Mark, we could go on and on. This is really fascinating, and I've learned a lot, and I think you've imparted a lot of practical tips to our listeners. It's a fascinating area. It's an area that we need to revisit from time to time here on Intelligent Medicine, because the science of mushrooms is literally exploding, and they are a very, very valuable adjunct to whatever nutritional and supplement program that people want to undertake. So thanks for informing us. You're very, very well-versed in this field, and we appreciate your contribution.
Thanks for having me on. It was a real pleasure.
My pleasure. That was Mark Kaler. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. With a flu shot unreliable this year, a particularly virulent form of the flu circulating, and antiviral drug stockpiles dwindling, the best medicine is preventive medicine to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests from my audience for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to help get through the season. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Seasonal Immune Support Protocol. My supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for more information. In addition to the Seasonal Immune Support Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the Intelligent Medicine lifestyle, the same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.